Welcome to the Messy Walk Podcast with Pastor Adam Cook, where our goal is to have a genuine and authentic conversation about the Christian faith journey and what a messy walk with Jesus really looks like. Make sure to follow us for future episodes that will be posted regularly each Wednesday. We hope you enjoy this episode.
Hey, welcome to the Messy Walk Podcast. I'm your host, Steph, here with Pastor Adam.
Hey.
And we are back for our new series called 13 Thankful Meditations. And this is helping us pursue gratitude. So this is number two, episode 190.
Crazy. We just finished one of them. So if you haven't checked that out, check that one out. It was a great start to the series. And what we're doing is we're giving you quotes. Most of these quotes have been around a long time. And we're just meditating on them. Steph and I are just trying to read them ahead of time, think on them, meditate on them, right? Just kind of repeat them over and over again and just ponder on those thoughts and then share what we think about them. And hopefully you'll do the same thing. I really believe that if you'll take these and meditate is the word we're using, right? But just think on them, it will increase your gratitude and being thankful. And that's what I'm trying to do. So the reason we're doing this series is just because personally, Steph and I have decided that we would really like for 2025 to be a year where we are thankful and we have gratitude, and because we think that that will change everything. And that's what we talked about last week, that the thoughts and the attitudes of being thankful and having gratitude in our hearts will actually change just about everything. And so that's kind of what we're doing. So we're just walking through these things. We're giving you quotes. We'll throw them on social media as well. And then we're just talking about them. That's about it. So, also, today's episode 190. That means we have 10 more episodes before we hit our 200th episode.
Wow.
Of which we got two things for you for our 200th episode. We've got a blooper reel of the last, I don't know how many episodes. I can't remember. When did the last blooper reel come out?
I think it was around...
Was it around episode 100?
Yeah, it was around Christmas time.
A couple years ago.
Not last year, 2024, it was 2023.
So it's possible. It's possible it was either a New Year's episode kind of thing for the blooper reel, or it was for the 100th episode. I can't remember. But anyway, we're going to do a blooper reel for you, which is really funny. And then we are going to, as an episode, and then we're also going to do some giveaways in celebration of us hitting 200 episodes.
Heck yeah.
And so what we've been mulling over some things, and I think what we're going to do is we're going to send a couple of people all of these books that we've referenced on the podcast. So you're going to get like a library sent to you.
Yay.
I think it'd be really cool because there's some books that Steph and I have referenced a lot over time. And so we're going to comb back through and figure out what those books are. And we're going to mail you actual physical hard copies of books because that's what I like. Yeah. I like hard copies of books. I want to write in them. I want to touch them. And I also want to give them away to somebody if they, you know what I mean?
So yes, fun.
I don't like no e-books. So we ain't sending no e-books or no PDFs or whatever. So I think that's what we're going to do. We had to figure out how many people and how many books because books is expensive. So that is our thought. 200 episodes coming up in 10 episodes. We'll talk about it a little bit more once we figure it out on how you can get involved in that giveaway. I'm sure it'll be on social media, but we'll figure it out as we get going.
Yeah.
Sound good?
You got a little while, so.
Got a little bit. Not much. Go by pretty quick. All right. 10 episodes go by fast.
Yeah.
All right. So here's today's meditation. Here's today's quote. This is from William Law. William Law was a priest, 18th century priest. All of his ministry and work happened in the 18th century, happened in the 1700s, but he was born in the 1600s, a Church of England priest. His works are still in print today, even though they're 300 years old. It's really, really cool.
Wow.
And as a matter of fact, one of his books was a key text that inspired multiple people in the anti-slave trade movement of the day back in the 1700s in England. Really, really neat. So anyway, here's a quote. Would you know who is the greatest saint in the world? It is not he who prays most or fasts most. It is not he who gives most alms or is most eminent for temperance, chastity, or justice, but it is he who is always thankful to God, who wills everything that God wills, who receives everything as an instance of God's goodness and has a heart always ready to praise God for it. That's a big quote.
That's big, yeah.
All right, that's a big deal. Like, there's a lot there, too. There's a lot there. All right, here's what I think. I've been meditating on this one, not as much as I did the first one, but I've been meditating on this one. Here's what I think he's saying. Obviously, this is written in 1700s language, okay? So he's using some phrases that we're not really used to. So let me just kind of take it and put it kind of how I think what he means. How can you know the person that's the most godly, right? The most godly person. That's what he means by saint. It's not the person who is praying the most or fasting the most. So he's taking those two things and going, okay, spiritual disciplines. Mm-hmm. The person who's the most godly is not necessarily the person who's got all these spiritual disciplines down pat. The most godly person is not the person who's reading the Bible the most or praying the most or fasting the most, right? That's not who it is. He says it's not the one who gives alms. So it's not the person who is consistently using their money to give alms is to give to the poor or the needy or meet a specific need. And it's not the one most eminent for temperance, chastity, or justice. So it's not the person who is constantly pursuing things that need to be right or holy and righteous living when it comes to sexual purity or anything like that. He's like, it's not that person either. He says it's the person who is most thankful. So the most godly person is the person who's most thankful. And he gives you a couple qualifications. He says, what do you mean by the most thankful? It means that it's the person who is always thankful to God no matter what. God's will is their will. They're always saying that I'm following, my will is to follow God's will, whatever it is. So they see everything as God's will instead of questioning God's will about it when things happen. And then he also says, and that receives everything, so that's going to be good, bad, and ugly, as an instant of God's goodness. So that everything that happens, everything that's going down, is just pointing to the fact that God is good, and that that person always has a heart that's ready to praise God for it. Whatever that's it is good. That comes along, right? So good, bad, ugly, whatever it is, this person has an extreme heart of thankfulness, and he's tying that to that's most godly. That's the most godly person. Now, obviously, he's not talking about an actual literal figurative person, right? He's just referring in general that godliness, extreme godliness, the most godly we could be is tied to us being the most thankful.
Is it because a lot of those things can be done and you could also just not be as thankful while doing them? Because
it's like, I agree.
Like going to church or...
Yeah, and those things aren't, if you're doing all those things, if you're fighting for justice, if you're praying all the time, if you're reading the word, if you're fasting, if all those things are happening and you're not, that's not turning your thoughts into praise and thankfulness, then are you really being that godly?
Yeah, it's like a checklist or something.
Right? Yeah. Are you really being that godly? Like, in other words, if those things aren't transforming you into being thankful, then what are they really? Like you said, a checklist? Or
it could be like an appearance thing, maybe even, to appear as a good Christian or a good believer.
Yeah.
Huh.
Because all those
makes me think.
All those things that we're supposed to do as Christians, like all the spiritual disciplines, and then also just the how we're to handle ourselves in this world that's not spiritual disciplines, holy, righteous living. It's not just, that's not the end. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, that's the means. And the means to the end is actually that we would be holy and godly and righteous. And what he's doing is he's tying to the fact that the more thankful we are to God and the quicker we're thankful to God for everything that happens, the more godly we are.
Yeah.
Like, so we start to, the person who sees everything as a blessing and then is as fast as possible turning that blessing back into praise, right? And sees even bad crap that happens to them as some sort of blessing, or attributing it to God's in control of this. God's will's happening here. So I'm going to just follow along and constantly thank and give praise to him. That's what he's tying this to. That's a pretty deep thought that we don't think about very often, because I think we tend to naturally, which is what he's attacking here, naturally attribute godliness to specific Christian actions.
Yeah.
Instead of who we are, right? Instead of what we do, not what we do, but who we are.
And who we are while we're doing things as well.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
That's good.
That's kind of what he's doing here. He's juxtaposing. You think that this is what when I meditate on it, this is what I get. You think, Adam, that you're going to be your most godly when you're doing all these Christian things you're supposed to do. And really, though, you're your most godly when all your thoughts are constantly going back to God is good, God is gracious, God is in control. Thank you, Lord, for this. Mm-hmm. And everything that happens is an instance where, this is what he says, an instance to where you can declare God is good and give him praise, which is what we said in the first episode, that we were talking about highest form of thought from G.K. Chesterton. We said that, what are the thoughts that we're going to think in heaven? What are those thoughts? Well, the Bible's pretty specific. The thoughts that we'll think in heaven are primarily centered around awe and amazement and wonder and thankfulness and gratitude and praise to God, right? So it would make sense then that we would be our most godly on earth when we're doing that here. But it's all heart and thoughts and mind. It's being is what it is. It's our being. This being of thankfulness is really what determines our godliness. So when I think about all that, it makes me want to go, and this might help you guys listening, it makes me want to go, well, let's rank ourselves then, right? Because mm-hmm. we'll rank ourselves real quick. Like this is a good litmus test for your godliness. I'm always looking for litmus tests for godliness, right? You know what I mean? Like, because this is how this goes. In my world as a pastor, this is how this goes. I do this with my own self, but then I also see this constantly. This is how it goes. The person who reads and knows the most scripture thinks they're the most godliest. But I have found in my own personal life, but then also with people that I serve, the person who's practicing the scripture that they know is the most godly, not the person who just knows it.
Right.
You know what I mean? The person who's praying consistently every day at the right time frame is not necessarily the person who is handling that discipline correctly and the godliest. The godliest would be the person who is maybe not as consistent, but they are authentic in their prayers.
Yeah.
And their prayers are transforming their lives, right? And they're real and they're honest. And so somebody who, for example, we tend to do this, we tend to go, all right, that person just prayed in public and they sounded really good. They used some real good words and it was good and it was right on and they sounded godly. You know what I mean? You ever been around somebody who talks normal and then all of a sudden you ask them to pray or they got to pray for something and they start turning on the preacher voice? They got the prayer voice, you know what I mean? They start using words they never use in regular, you know. Like when somebody prays for the food, you ain't never heard them say this before, but then all of a sudden they're blessing the food and they go, and God bless this to the nourishment of our bodies, right?
You're like, you know the word nourishment?
You know, I ain't never heard you use the word nourishment before, right? or it's immediately, let's pray. Our heavenly gracious Father, Lord, right?
You and know they never mean? Sound and like
you
that.
You never hear them say that before, right? So what we end up doing is we end up going, oh, that person's godly because the way that they pray. But the real test of godliness would not be the way that you pray or how good a word you use, but how heartfelt and sincere and authentic and crying out for the heart of God that would be. You know what I mean?
Like, exactly.
Like whoever knows the most Bible isn't the most godliest. Whoever's living it out is. You know what I mean? Because if you're not being transformed by it, if you're not living it out, then what good is it to know it?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So this gives us a really good litmus test of how godly are we? How godly are we? Because we will go, all right, let's see, how godly am I? Well, I read my Bible, I pray, I fast, I serve, I fight injustice, you know, all those things. He's saying, yeah, but how thankful are you? How much thankfulness is coming out? How quick is that thankfulness moving? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
How quick are those things happening? That's your real metric.
Yeah, because thankfulness is tied to love.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
So that's the test for us, like right now. It says, okay, well, how thankful are we? And that's going to go with, that's going to let us know how godly we are.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm in trouble then, right?
Yeah.
Like, I'm in trouble. Because the whole reason we want to do this set of series on the podcast is because I'm trying to cultivate gratefulness that doesn't exist in my life.
I feel
like
you.
I'm not that thankful. I am. If you had to say, all right, Adam, today, this day, was your day marked by thankfulness or something else? I would have to immediately go, no, it was marked by irritation, annoyance, boredom,
complaining,
complacency, just going through the motions. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I understand.
Another day. You ever had that feel? This is a normal human thing, especially for adults. That feel of, all right, I wake up, I go to work, I come home, we eat dinner, we do chores, we go to bed, we wake up, we go to work. You know what I mean? And you have that mindset.
Mm-hmm.
All it is a complacent, kind of annoyed mindset. Instead of, that's me.
Mm-hmm.
But he's saying godliness is tied to, I woke up this morning, thanks God, right? I have a job, even though they get on my daggone nerves. I have a job and I'm thankful for it. I have coworkers, not all of them I like, not all of them like me, but I'm thankful for these people. You know,
because you want them to be there.
Right, right.
Even if you feel irritated with them, it's like you don't like the thought of them not being there.
Right, right.
You know?
And coworker thing, everybody brings different levels of. Everybody brings different levels of contribution to the table. Everybody does. And we need each other. And we really need people who are different than us.
Yeah, they can't all be the same.
You know what I mean? And so, you know, and it's like, God, I have a lunch break. I have time for break in my day. I get to go home to a home. My home's got heat. It ain't cold or whatever it may be. This thing can go on for forever. Right? That's the real measure of our thankfulness. And so if I'm sitting here going, oh my gosh, let me metric out right now how godly Adam is. All that other crap that I'm doing with a complacent mindset is not really equating to my godliness. What would be equating to my godliness is walking through those things in everyday life and being thankful for them and having them as moments to turn into instant praise, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then I'm in trouble. And I know it. Like, that's why I just told you a minute ago in between episode recordings that I've been on a journey the last 4 years. COVID, God, through the COVID thing, got my attention in a profound way. He used COVID because the church shut down. And every way you would measure success disappeared. And it was out of my control.
Mm-hmm.
And it was also, I couldn't figure it out anymore. See, before I could figure it out, I could tell you, well, these should do this, and this would do this, and this is how this will work, and I could figure it out. Through the COVID mess, God got my attention. At the same time frame, he got my attention through my wife, who was consistently saying to me and the kids get the leftovers. You see us as a burden. Like, I think I shared on the last episode that, or maybe on this one, I don't know, that I have had this long kind of thing of seeing all my blessings as burdens. They're really blessings, but I'm just annoyed with them, and so they're burdens.
Mm-hmm.
That I didn't create that thought. That thought got implanted in my heart through the Holy Spirit through Valerie Cook.
Mm-hmm.
You know, her saying, you know, you see us as burdens, and you're just getting through the day, and things like, you're not happy. You know, there's no joy. You're just complacent, and you're always annoyed. And he got my attention through a couple of those things together. And in that moment, I don't know if I shared this on the podcast, but I just feel like I have to now. I know I've shared it, but it was a moment right before COVID he started to get my attention with this, because we had had some big attendance Sunday or something, and somebody comes up to me, one of his team members, and says, hey, we hit this number. And they're all excited because we never hit that number before. Attendance wise. And in my heart, I went, oh, I thought it had been more. And I felt the Holy Spirit, like as loud as I have ever felt God speak to me, whisper, deep whisper to my soul. It might have been out loud. I don't know. but it's undeniable. If I close my eyes, I can hear it right now. Mm-hmm. This whisper to my soul that was like, you always say that.
That's sad.
You know, no matter what, right? No matter what the number was, you always say it could have been more. And it was this awakening moment. I don't know what to do with it.
Well,
and then COVID hits and my wife's saying these things. And then now my wife's not just the one saying them. Now my kids are starting to say them. And the last 4 years has been this battle back and forth of, I always say or feel it could have been more, which means I'm not thankful for what I have or what's happening or what God's doing. I'm always looking for something else, something more, something better, something bigger. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's not godly. That's not godly. And that's what William Law is saying in this quote, that we are our most godliest, our holiest in this earth. Or let's just say it this way, in God's will the most. Not when we're doing Christian things, but when we're thankful.
That's really good.
We both have about to cry through this episode.
I know. So. I started tearing up. I'm like, man.
Let's read it one more time. We'll wrap up because I think we're tapped out on this one. This one got me.
Yeah, me too.
Would you know who is the greatest saint in the world? It is not he who prays most or fasts most. It is not he who gives the most alms or is most eminent for temperance, chastity, or justice. But it is he who is always thankful to God, who wills everything that God wills, who receives everything as an instance of God's goodness, and has a heart always ready to praise God for it. William Law. That's a big one.
Mm-hmm.
You guys that are listening, chew on that a little bit. Think on that. Think on your godliness tied to your thankfulness. And if you're like me, you might be at a spot right now where you're realizing that we got a lot of work to do. And the good thing is it's not a, here's the affirmation I get back, right? You got a lot of work to do, but it's not a bunch of stuff to do. It's just a different person to be,
mm-hmm.
or a different thought pattern to think, which can be easily fixed, you know, by just focusing in on small little things to be thankful for and letting that grow. So that's all we got for 190. I think we're kind of tapped out here. Next week, we're going to give you a John Milton quote, who is the guy who wrote The Pilgrim's Progress, which is one of the most printed Christian pieces of literature ever to exist. We'll look at that one next week.
Okay. Well, thank you again for sharing your experience with this, Pastor Adam. We're very grateful for that.
I appreciate that.
And we just hope that you feel super blessed by this. And if you know someone that could use this encouragement as well, just share it with them. And we look forward to talking to y'all next week.
We'll meditate some more next week?
Yes.
All right. See you later.
See ya.
Bye.
Thank you for joining us on the Messy Walk Podcast with Pastor Adam Cook. Make sure to follow us for future episodes that will be posted regularly each Wednesday. Have a good day.